Jordan, Sex Law Validation, and Entry Addict.
Jordan!
Thank you guys for letting me share. Thank you, Raymond, for asking me to share. Really looking forward to sharing at this meeting. I was kind of like trying to decide what I'm going to say and make sure I share like every piece of recovery with her, and realize that's like me trying to control everything, and I just kind of got to be honest and trust God, and that's what I'm going to do. So, yeah, I mean, this started really early on for me, just like I'm sure it did for most of you guys. Really early on, I remember like not being able to really develop much emotional connection with my father. I really still can't, to be honest, it's tough. But I was able with my mother, and I think that kind of set the stage for me seeking emotional comfort and, you know, attention and companionship from women. Really struggled with male friendships growing up, was bullied a lot, didn't have deep emotional connections with men. So again, sought that out with women. That led to me really seeking out sexual experiences really early on. Had some pretty unhealthy sexual experiences as a kid. One with like a guy friend of mine that was just like really confusing. Another was just like at a really young age with a girl, 11 or 12 years old. Found porn at a really young age. That used to be a big problem for me. So basically just set the stage for with a lot of like unhealthy sexual experiences, a lot of shame. And I realized like as time went on, the threshold for me getting that same sort of like satisfaction or high got higher and higher as time grew on. So I kind of had to, you know, act out more frequently or to more of a significant extent to get that same feeling. And that was just kind of like this pattern. It was like this big snowball that sort of started getting bigger and bigger over time. You know, by my early 20s, I had hundreds of meaningless sexual experiences, destroyed many relationships, a handful of different abortions with girlfriends, STD scares, a lot of things that were just like terrible, causing damage to my family, friends, myself. It was just really, really just like bad. And it was just getting worse little by little. And it was scary. I didn't realize till like the last few years how big of a problem this was. And, it was getting out of control. I was powerless. It was unmanageable to live like this. And basically what happened is 6 months ago, before I came to this program, I was in a relationship with my qualifier. I did something particularly shameful, and I write a lot in my journal. And one night I was like writing to God, and I was like, God, like, I am powerless to this. Like, please help me. And this was before I'd even gotten the program. I was just truly at this point of like a bottom where I didn't know what else to do. Wrote to God. I asked for help. Long story short, qualifier ended up reading this like in my journal the next day. It led to me opening up about it, asking for help, figuring about these meetings, or, like hearing about these meetings, got into a slaw meeting that like very next day. And I realized that this was God in like a weird way answering my call for help, triggering this like conversation with her that was really difficult, leading us to breaking up, leading me to opening up to friends. And I got to slaw and I was like, wow, like God put me here for a reason and I need to be here. And I started working this program like my life depended on it, because it really does. And if I didn't have this program, I'd probably be destroying another relationship right about now, and life would be getting even worse. And you know, I got a sponsor. I started working with someone for like 2 weeks, but then I realized I had to, you know, take initiative to work with someone else. Started working with this guy right here and started doing everything he told me. It took a while. I was really caught up in doing what I wanted to do for a while and living in my own thinking. But that's been one of the biggest parts of this program is for me to get out of my own thinking and trust something outside of myself, trust my higher power, trust my program, trust my sponsor, trust fellows who are farther along in this process than me. And I realized that it was just, you know, it was tough to do that. My thinking created the problem, and my thinking wasn't going to solve the problem. You know, in other parts of my life, maybe I could trust my own thinking, but when it came to sex and love, my thinking was the problem, and that's what needed to change. So I got into withdrawal, started working with steps. Withdrawal is just, you know, probably the most single transformative thing I've ever done for myself. Being able to take an intentional space to get rid of this bottom line behavior and make space for God, make space for myself to develop a better relationship with myself, get to know myself better, sit with discomfort. That was one of the hardest things I wasn't able to do. I realized anytime I felt something that was off or painful, I would just medicate with sex and love. And it was, again, so transformative. And learning just to get out of my own will and not try to control everything all the time. And over time, it was really difficult and still is it sometimes, but now I see it as a very, like, almost reassuring thing. Like, I feel very safe being able to trust in a higher power because I don't have to control everything. I don't have to worry about, you know, next week, next month, who I'm going to end up dating or being with. I can just put my best foot forward, take the next right action, focus on the present moment, and whatever happens, happens. And this disease is truly a daily reprieve. The scoreboard set resets every day at 0-0. My disease does not give a fuck what I did yesterday. It does not give a fuck what I'm doing tomorrow. I have to do the work 24 hours at a time, or I'm not going to stay sober. You know, I have to make outreach calls. I have to work with my sponsor. I have to talk to fellows. I have to come to meetings, and I have to be of service. And if any point I feel entitled to any of this recovery, that's when shit hits the fan. Mm-hmm. I have to continue doing this. And it's hard sometimes. Sometimes, you know, I'd rather do something else, but I continuously get reminded that there's like no other solution. This works, and it works if you work it, and the more you work it, the more it works. And it just feels really good to have something that truly, like, works. Like, I just couldn't find something for years. Like, I was failing consistently, making all these promises to myself, seeking external help from, like, I don't know, other people, and it wasn't sticking, and this is the one thing that's actually allowed me to stay sober. And it's really a 24-hour at a time thing. Fellow in this program told me something. It's like, no one wants to grow up to be a sex and love addict. And it's so funny, this thing I never thought it would be, I thought maybe I was like immune to, actually turns out to be one of the best things that's ever happened to me. And to find so much gratitude in something that could be looked at as so objectively like negative is just such a blessing. And I'm grateful, truly grateful to be a sex and love addict. And there's been so much collateral healing that's come out as a result of this program, seeing family and friends get better, inspiring my brother to get back into sobriety. My dad, who's only 70 years old, just joined like this Christian men's group because he's been inspired by the work I've been doing and the things I've been sharing. My family sends me gratitude lists every morning, and like our family group chat. It's just amazing. It's like stuff I never would have dreamed happening, but is now happening as a result of the stuff I've been doing. And I didn't even realize that stuff would happen. I thought it was just a stop, like these certain behaviors, and now so much more has come out of it. And it's such a blessing. And kind of now, like in regards to what things look like, obviously still trying to do everything I can on a daily basis. I'm working my eighth step, made the list of people I'm gonna make amends to, creating those amends as we speak. I've been sponsoring, I'm a few sponsees, and that's been such a gift too. It just feels like it's a whole new part of my program, being able to take people through these steps and give what was so freely given to me. And even that, in that some sense, like I can't control everything there. Like I can't keep people sober. I can guide them, I can give them, share my strength and experience and hope, but it's not up to me, it's up to God as well in that sense. So that's been a good reminder. I'm sober dating. I went on my first sober date last Friday. It was good. It's not this crazy thing I'm getting high from. It's just like kind of boring and normal in the 2 minutes. And I'm just kind of letting it play out. I honestly don't know if it's going to be like the one for me. It's really just time will tell, and that's kind of up to God. But it feels good again to like not have to try to control that and get so consumed about it and make it the whole wall of my life. I can really keep it a brick in the wall, and it feels good. It's really a blessing. Trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to touch on. I guess I'll just kind of wrap up. There's this quote I really like that I actually heard a fellow share in one of my first meetings here that I want to share with you guys and kind of talk about briefly what it means to me. But the quote goes, I sought my soul, and my soul I could not see. I sought my God, and my God eluded me. And I sought my brother, and I found all three. For the women, I sought my sister. But what that quote really means to me and why it stuck with me is the importance of this fellowship and the community we have here in these rooms. We can only do so much alone. Like on our own, you know, whatever that may look like, but we need each other. I need every single one of you. I need all the people like Lewis and Steve who've been such a pivotal part of my recovery, and I couldn't have got to where I am without this. I can't continue going on without everyone in this room, and there's just so much love and intimacy available in these rooms, and you know, I spend so much time looking for love in all the wrong places with all the wrong people. And I'm just so grateful to have, you know, the people I've met so far and to be able to share this with, to have this program at 27 years old is such a blessing. To be in West LA and have this amazing recovery is just incredible. So yeah, like that said, thank you guys for letting me share.